Today's the day we deal with Rachel Maddow. But even if I talked for 3 hours, there's no way I could get to the bottom of all that's wrong with her. But what I've been revealing in other shows is that she's just the tip of the iceberg. She's the most visible component of neoliberalism. This show is the antithesis of what she does. She's a charming geek who misinforms people, and I'm a much less charming person who tries to tell the truth. She works directly for the plutocrats and does their bidding, even if it's in a controlled opposition sort of way, whereas I am trying to work directly for the people against the plutocrats. Mostly what I got from this first article by Heather M. Edwards is the title, Rachel Maddow is Everything That's Wrong with Liberals. I feel that Heather is very gentle with Rachel, so we'll start with gentle and then we'll move from there. Just because you're right doesn't mean you can change hearts and minds, but then again, that's not what cable news is about, is it? And it hasn't been for a long time. Rachel Maddow is as huffy and indignant as she is intelligent. Her blustering is just shy of shrill, but her constant scoffing is far from impartial. In a jarring mashup of political savvy and freaking as an adjective, casual, an hour with this news expert feels like little more than your smartest friend reassuring you that you're right. The reality is that the audacity of what is now normal in American politics screams for itself. We do not need her eyebrows raised right off her head and her guffaws after every unbelievable absurdity she reports on. She's like an angsty grad student ruining a dinner party after too many craft beers, or a dry drunk over-gesticulating at the idiocy around her. And don't get me wrong, I'm flabbergasted too, but so are most Americans along any point on the political spectrum. And to watch such a shrewd intellect sneer and jeer like Trump harumphing with his much smaller vocabulary is disheartening. Much smaller. Some liberals think they're the Ivy League intelligent ones, the fully informed. But gasbags don't have to have audibly high blood pressure or performatively lose their temper in order to be counterproductive. If your smartest liberal minds act just like the most prominent conservative gasbags, even at lower decibels, you're just preaching to the choir. Maddow firmly anchors the left of center point on the bell curve, but her huffiness isn't that different than Sean Hannity or that human heart attack they auto-tune to make into a hilarious indie folk song. She just uses her inside voice and makes calmer, more pointed eye contact with the camera. We need bright minds like hers to speak clearly with conviction, not righteous indignation and folksy colloquialisms. Her ums and looks and, you know, makes her program more conversational, right? But we need our smartest left-of-center commentators to speak with eloquence and conviction instead of guffawing with hyper-emotionalism. Or we need to admit to ourselves that these programs are not designed to inform, but to reassure us that what we already feel is right, and that our righteous indignation at the incredulous wrongness of our opponents is justified. We are the chosen ones, after all. Who? All of us, that's who. That's why we're all right and everyone else is all wrong. We live in a country where facts are now negotiable, and the facts are astonishing enough on their own without a theatrical rendering of them. But maybe that's what people want. Theater, not someone offering them new information to critically analyze, but someone, a professional, to share the outrage they already feel. And so the term echo chamber was born from silos, a phenomenon decried by academics and municipal employees, but still used as a verb. We don't want Walter Cronkite, do we? We want to rage with our friends. And Rachel Maddow is like Tommy Lahren for liberals, more pantsuit than bombshell, with scoffing equanimity instead of surprisingly articulate vitriol. Lahren speaks as quickly as she thinks. As a side note, it's actually quite impressive. But she is also like one of those hydrothermal vents in the deep sea where scientists were astonished to find life capable of thriving under such hellish conditions. Up to more than 800 degrees Fahrenheit, magmatic gases, pitch black, kind of like sitting in the dark feeding yourself nothing but screen time. But Lahren gives the far right of center the same thing Rachel Maddow gives the left, confirmation bias. The people are getting what they want, and they don't want to be challenged. They want their feelings validated, their suspicions confirmed by the TV experts, and the collective affirmation of the self-defining values we hold dear. The warm, cozy feeling of being right should never be more important, more valuable, than impartial news coverage that would have us analyze all sides and facts. The specter of the 2020 election looms, and liberals perceived as snooty are doing more harm than good. If liberals with the highest profile and the broadest reach fail to reach beyond their comfort zone, the change they're preaching won't achieve the change they claim to be fighting for. This is a pretty safe article. It's designed not to offend too many of the comfy Dems, but I will say that we should not call Rachel's audience the left. Rachel's comfy audience is to the right of center. But what Heather says about confirmation bias is spot on. Now I'm going to return to an article by Keaton Weiss called MSNBC is Controlled Opposition. This was written last year, and most of the rest of the articles I'm going to read were written last year. The reason for returning to these articles is that we had this figured out a long time ago, but we need to remember what we learned then. Vladimir Lenin once said, "The best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves." The term controlled opposition isn't widely used, but when it is nowadays, it typically refers to the likes of Alex Jones. The theory is that Jones and other conspiracy theorists like him, by distracting his followers with paranoia and misinformation about fake conspiracies like the Sandy Hook massacre and 9/11, disempowers them and neuters their ability to effectively oppose real systemic forces that actually have tangible negative effects on their lives. In this example, the controlled opposition functions as a sensationalistic sideshow in which real-world problems of oligarchy, militarism, and authoritarianism are caricatured to such extremes that people feel powerless to resist them. But controlled opposition can also take on another form, one that doesn't over-radicalize the opposition movement, but rather sterilizes it by tempering the convictions of its members. An example of this would be Gabriel Riquetti, Count of Mirabeau, who during the French Revolution established himself as a key revolutionary leader while at the same time supporting a more moderate vision of constitutional monarchy. It was discovered after his death that he was actually being paid by King Louis XVI the entire time. MSNBC is also controlled opposition, of the latter variety. They had a big week this week. Back in 2019, as hosts of the first two Democratic presidential primary debates. But really, they've had a big few years now. Since the election of Donald Trump, they have carved out a niche for themselves as the go-to network for the resistance. And throughout the Trump era, their ratings have continued to grow, up to and through the conclusion of the Mueller investigation. Since then, they've naturally seen a bit of a drop in ratings, but it's still unquestionably true that Trump has been a boon to their ratings share. But what kind of resistance are they actually leading? And now, dear listeners and viewers, we're getting to the main point here, which is Russiagate. Well, first, it should be a telling sign that MSNBC's ratings boost came largely from their nonstop coverage of the Russia probe. Rachel Maddow, who became number one in her time slot for the first time ever after Trump's inauguration, covered the Russian interference matter more than all other topics combined through April of 2017. In 2018, MSNBC as a network went only one day, a Sunday, October 28th, without mentioning Robert Mueller by name. The Russia probe has mostly been defined by conspiratorial theorizing and specious claims about the degree to which the election of Donald Trump is a direct result of undue influence by the Kremlin, but if there is a central thesis to be found in the endless whirlwind of innuendo, it's that the Trump presidency is illegitimate. According to this version of reality, the center actually did hold in 2016, and that but for Russian interference in our democracy, Hillary Clinton would be president, and the MSNBC team would now be covering the clown car that would have been the 2020 Republican presidential primary field. This narrative, regardless of the extent to which you believe it, is obviously designed to undermine the notion that decades of systemic failures are what gave rise to Donald Trump, and is consistent with MSNBC's attempts to quell the voices of those pushing sweeping systemic reform. A recent Morning Consult poll found that support for Bernie Sanders at MSNBC is 13% less than at the New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, and perhaps most surprisingly, the Wall Street Journal. And yes, Fox News, where Sanders' support is actually the highest of all the aforementioned outlets at 22%. So is Fox News the real enemy? No, Rachel Maddow is the real enemy. I don't think it would be tough at all to demonstrate that Rachel Maddow has more plutocratic support than does Fox News. The disdain for Sanders' political revolution among MSNBC viewers is no accident. The late Ed Schultz, host of The Ed Show on the network, made the mistake of covering Bernie's 2016 campaign launch in Burlington, Vermont. 5 minutes before the rally was set to begin, when the show was to go live, Schultz received a phone call from Phil Griffin, head of NBC News, who insisted that the network would not cover the event. The conversation became heated, and 6 weeks later, Schultz was fired. So, dear viewers and listeners, Keaton is a leftist, and he's showing us how Rachel is controlled opposition. Now we're going to go to the Harkin, which is sort of middle of the road. They include left and right opinions. And then we're going to end with Russia Insider and BizPak Review. I don't know if you'd call them right wing or just what, but what we're going to see is that we have some real problems with Rachel Maddow, no matter who's talking. The central point, though, is that Rachel lies, wheedles, and manipulates on behalf of the plutocrats. So from Justin at Harkin, we have, yes, Russia collusion delusion is a big deal. Collusion delusion. Reading Justin makes me homesick because he's from the West Coast, and you can feel the West Coast flavor in his writing style. People from California talk about highways differently. They say, instead of I'm taking I-405, they say, I'm taking the 405. I'm taking the 22. While taking my daily drive from the 405 to the 22 into Long Beach, just before passing over the Beach Boulevard exit in Huntington Beach, I pass a handwritten sign attached to an overpass stating, collusion and lots of it. About 500,000 people a day are viewing this sign as they commute to work on the 405. When viewing the sign, I can't help but think, man, that's an extremely bold statement for one to make with little to no evidence. Because the bold statement hanging over the 405 is one of many crazy assertions that transpired over the last 2 to 3 years. The speculation that Donald J. Trump colluded with the Russian government to impact the results of the 2016 election has been broadcasted throughout every cable news outlet, reported in every major news publication, and splattered over every social media platform. As we discovered yesterday, dear viewers and listeners, this was no accident. Russiagate as a whole reminds me of a phrase Glenn Greenwald once said. On the one hand, you have faith-based beliefs, which is when you put your trust in a person or an institutional religious leader. You simply assume it's true regardless of evidence because you have faith in that individual to tell you its truth. Opposite of that is rational thinking, which is you don't accept the claim just because somebody makes it. You need to actually see evidence for it. Faith in the CIA, FBI, mainstream media, and every anti-Trump resistor seemed to Trump, no pun intended, all rational evidence-based thinking. I've been told for 2 years that Donald Trump's 2016 election victory is not legitimate due to the fact that Russia hacked the election or Russia attacked our democracy. Really? Facebook memes, Twitter trolls, and some Gmail accounts really swung the election in favor of Trump? A hard truth that much of the media refuses to accept is the fact that Hillary Clinton was and still is a cruddy candidate who is not favorable amongst the American public. Secondly, her campaign strategy was horrible as she left out many swing states, including Wisconsin. Not only did media elites push Russiagate to delegitimize Trump's victory, but they fed into this petty mindset similar to that of the president. Trump is attacking the media daily, coining the term fake news and enemy of the people. Instead of ignoring his petty smear attacks, media elites used Russiagate to smear him. But all their reporting did was prove Trump to be correct. As we now know, the media is fake news. Rachel Maddow made $7 million in 2018 by spewing out complete, utter lies related to Trump-Russia. MSNBC's ratings skyrocketed as Maddow led her cult following of mindless dissidents viewers into believing segments upon segments of completely false conspiracies. The media as a whole reported on this Russian conspiracy theory 8,507 times over 2 years, 13 articles a day. This isn't Alex Jones, people. No, this is mainstream corporate media that many Americans take seriously. Over the past 2 years, journalists have been in the business of deceiving the masses into thinking their sitting president is under the control of Putin. This Ponzi scheme has resulted in books being published, ratings going up, and personal exposure being gained through complete lies and deception. While corporate media hacks benefited from this debacle, those who questioned this conspiracy were called names such as Russian stooge or Putin's puppet. This rhetoric came out of the mouths of intelligent people that are so blinded by hostility that common sense doesn't apply. This behavior by the public, media figures, and politicians is not just deranged, but it's dangerous. Shouting Putin's puppet because they are skeptical and demand evidence for claims is unhinged New Age McCarthyism. I'm sorry, but this behavior is not normal. Even though this cult following preached collusion, none of these theories fit the facts. Trump is not an asset to Putin, considering he, number one, imposed sanctions on dozens of Russian oligarchs, number two, expelled 60 Russian diplomats, number three, killed hundreds of Russians in a U.S. attack in Syria, number four, sent lethal weapons to Ukraine, number five, bombed Bashar al-Assad, number six, nominated Richard Grenell. Come on, people, facts don't fit the narrative. Yet partisans keep eating this garbage up like a dog eating his vomit. Trump didn't destroy the media destroyed itself with their self-indulgence, petty, deceiving ways. They still cannot admit that their candidate lost to a reality TV host. They failed in 2016, so they pushed this Russia story to cover their failures. Ding, ding, ding. Instead of reporting on newsworthy information, the media chose to indulge in a battle that they themselves knew had little substance, just to jab at a president that attacks them daily. They took his bait and got reeled into the net of embarrassment. And, dear viewers and listeners, they took Bernie Sanders down while they were at it. Unfortunately, no accountability will transpire from this hoax. Two Pulitzer Prize awards were obtained last year for this conspiracy. Media elites will continue to back each other and say they're just doing their jobs. This is why trust in media has fallen to an all-time low. This is what is waking the American people up to reality, and this is why Trump won the 2016 election and is practically being handed a victory in 2020. He is no longer viewed as the villain, but instead the victim. And to put the 2020 timestamp on it, even though Trump may not win, it isn't the fault of Rachel Maddow or MSDNC. I will make a quiet prediction here, though, and say that I still think Trump is going to win. I don't think polling means shit at this point. So now we turn to the Russia Insider article. Must watch! Rachel Maddow destroyed by Jimmy Dore for her 2.5 year Russia hoax serial lying. This is by Patrick Fleming, and I can't tell if Patrick is a right-winger or a left-winger or just what he is, but he tells the truth here in this article about the Jimmy Dore story. This is from a couple of weeks ago, just after the Mueller report dropped, but we just stumbled across it, and well, it is really, really good. Jimmy Dore and Aaron Maté do a brilliant job of exposing Rachel Maddow for the fraud that she is, sticking the daggers in and giving them a good twist. This is good TV. Dore comes from the progressive left, but he is good on a lot of issues that count, like ridiculous neocon warmongering, hostility towards Russia, etc. He's been saying Russiagate was a hoax from day one, and now he's obviously enjoying skewering the Russia hoaxers. They do a great job dissecting how Maddow and her guests, prominent Russia hoaxers all, try to deflect, spin, and avoid at any cost the severe embarrassment they in fact face. Very revealing about how American journalism works. Great footage of Mueller plugging the Iraq War back in the day. Maté has been one of the leading journalists on the left exposing Russiagate as a fraud. Good stuff, and a good video to get folks to watch who still believe what the mainstream media sells us. I like the screenshot here that they took of Jimmy. And we'll end with the BizPack review article because it's the most absurd. Rachel Maddow peddles absurd what-if Russia scenario during polar vortex that even lefties can't take, by Tom Tillison. So before I start reading the article, I want to note that they call Jimmy Dore a liberal and they call Rachel Maddow a liberal. I don't know that it's wrong to call Rachel Maddow a liberal, but if Rachel Maddow's a liberal, then Jimmy Dore is something else. I think Jimmy would admit that he's something else. As liberal comedian Jimmy Dore noted, MSNBC's Rachel Maddow must not have any friends at the liberal network or they would have stopped her from a fear-mongering segment about Russia killing the power amid bone-chilling polar vortex conditions many Americans experienced this week. While noting that the temperature in the Dakotas were like minus 50 degrees, Maddow displayed a map of temperatures across the northern part of the country as she went into a bizarre scenario where the Kremlin had the ability to kill the power in the U.S. to include shutting off the flow of natural gas. "What would happen if Russia killed the power in Fargo today?" she inquired. "What would happen if all the natural gas that services Sioux Falls just poofed on the coldest day in recent memory and it wasn't in our power on whether to turn them back on? I mean, what would you do if you lost heat indefinitely at the act of a foreign power on the same day the temperature in your front yard matched the temperature in Antarctica?" Maddow asked. "What would you and your family do?" Granted, we understand that liberals have Russia on the brain. After all, this is an early symptom of Trump derangement syndrome. But what would prompt Maddow to think Russia would suddenly attempt to kill who knows how many Americans in their homes? And why choose this means when the average temperature in Moscow around this time of year is 18 degrees Fahrenheit? Should the U.S. decide to give as good as it gets in retaliation? While her motivation may escape us, we can probably assume Maddow is suggesting that Russia has the ability to attack our power grid. There was a breaking report from the Washington Post in December 2016 headlined, "Russian hackers penetrated U.S. electricity grid through a utility in Vermont." But the newspaper retracted its story the following day. An earlier version of this story incorrectly said that Russian hackers had penetrated the U.S. electric grid. Authorities say there is no indication of that so far, an editor's note stated on a corrected version of the story. "The computer at Burlington Electric that was hacked was not attached to the grid," the note added. Maddow was ridiculed so badly for the clip, she took to Twitter to explain herself in a response to a tweet from WikiLeaks. This is a Rachel tweet. "Unclassified Director of National Intelligence report this week says for the first time that China and Russia can cut portions of the U.S. electrical grid or power supply at will. We interviewed a WSJ Energy reporter about it Wednesday night, which caused RT, Sputnik, and WikiLeaks to all freak out over our coverage." It's so weird to see what hits their alarm bells. 10.9K likes, 3,000 people are tweeting about this. Yeah, that happens every time I make a tweet. At least 10,000 people like it, and at least 3,000 people talk about it every time I tweet anything. She pointed to select coverage for freaking out, which ignored the fact that many of the shots directed at her came from the left. As for the ridicule, it was pure comedy gold. Here's a sampling of the reactions from Twitter, beginning with Dore's observation. "Proof that Maddow has no real friends or they would have stopped her before it got to this." Glenn Greenwald. "I'm not even joking. I have so much work to do and I can't stop watching this. MSNBC often removes its most embarrassing debacles from the internet. Someone please do that here so I can get to work." Greenwald again. "What if Putin sent people to steal all the wood? Stop being so nonchalant about this threat. Hey, Glenn, get a clue. That might happen. The Russians pooped in the hallway. The lack of accountability is getting out of hand. Lol, before I even watched this, I guess she somehow connected the polar vortex to Russia. Thank you, Twitter. I'm on the West Coast and can't find my umbrella, which makes me very suspicious. I'm racking my brain, but I'm honest to God having a hard time figuring out in what moral universe speculating about a foreign power turning off grandma's boiler is good for any left-wing cause ever. This is so obviously toxic. I feel like this is a fake broadcast and a remake of Red Dawn. This is absurd but also hilarious because look what happened last night at my house. Guess where I live? It's Fargo. Yep, the Russians obviously did that. You can just tell by looking at the sparks. Those are Russian sparks, right? I have to ask, is the Russian collusion in the room with us right now? It's sad what's become of Rachel Maddow. Chris Hayes is a modicum better, but even he has become all Russia all the time. But dear viewers and listeners, if you listen to Jimmy Dore, he'll tell you they're both fucking sellouts. And as Keaton Weiss will tell you, they're both controlled opposition. Maddow should understand mutually assured destruction would prohibit a foreign power from engaging in such an attack, like nuclear weapons. Frightening her viewers for ratings shouldn't be tolerated by her network. What pisses me off is when I'm fighting off all of the comfy Democrats on my Facebook feed, it's because of people like Rachel Maddow and Chris Hayes more than it is people from Fox News. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, a fellow professor, and he was saying, because I think he grew up in a comfy environment, that Barack Obama wasn't all that bad. I mean, he's way better than Trump, right? MSDNC, Clinton News Network, Washington Post, and New York Times are all responsible for how he views the world. I asked him, where do you get your news? How do you know what you know about the world? He obviously doesn't get it from Fox News. And we both agreed that that news outlet isn't going to give you any fewer fake news stories. But what comfy liberals should acknowledge is that if they get their news from television, they don't know what's going on except through the filter of the plutocrats. They're listening to people who are owned by the plutocrats and who are doing their bidding. I urged him to watch this channel on YouTube to get a better idea of what's going on in the world, but I could tell he wasn't really interested. If any kind of revolution is going to happen, it's clear to me that the comfy people who voted for Biden in the primaries, and even the comfy people who are going to vote for Biden in the general election, are the problem. They're standing directly between the working class and justice. Yes, we need to overthrow the plutocrats and their corporate media tools, but we also need to figure out how to overthrow the comfy Democrats and comfy Republicans. As I say again and again, this is class warfare, and the comfy people are on the wrong side. And Rachel Maddow is one of the main reasons why.